Hello, I'm George Dangus from New York City, United States of America, and I'm pleased to reach out to you regarding a great session of ACC 2024. We have a great sessions here in ACC, and I'm very pleased to be chairing the featured clinical research of Monday, Eclipse Day. So a very memorable day and very memorable session for all of us. There are five great trials. Number one is two trials of coronary artery disease, acute coronary syndromes, quite frankly. Then we have two trials on atrial fibrillation related ablation procedures. And third, we have one trial, very innovative trial, of aortic valve replacement. So let me give you the summary or my impressions regarding these five very, very interesting trials. Number one, we have the coronary trials, two of them, very large. One of them is acute myocardial infarction, STEMI, and comes from Scandinavia. The population is, in general, about 10-15% diabetics, a lot of smoking, I must say, in this part of the world, apparently. And it investigates whether, if we do a acute MI angioplasty and stent, can we utilize an FFR-guided approach for another lesion? A very interesting question that has been addressed by other trials as well from different parts of the world. Where in this one, it seems that this FFR-guided approach for the second lesion doesn't seem to offer much than if we just wait it out and perhaps perform the intervention later. Actually, the only difference was that if you do the intervention at the same time, you won't have to do as many interventions later. But those were sort of planned interventions. Nothing much difference regarding an acute recurrent event. Very interesting data, as it actually contrasts with some of the other studies presented from Canada and elsewhere before. So let's go to another part of the world entirely. Let's go to China, where we investigate, the investigators there in a very large study again, over 3,000 patients, a lot of diabetes, however, in this part of the world, over 30%, investigated acute coronary syndrome, PCI, that included unstable angina, non-STEMI, and STEMI patients, and they sought to investigate IVUS-guided PCI and DS, or non-IVUS-guided, classic, I would say, angiography-guided PCI and DS. The results are very interesting and in line with a very big body of evidence that came into fruition last year and indicated that the adjunct imaging is very, very important. So in this study, again, the prospective specific study in ACS, the IVUS-guided outperformed the classic way of performing PCI by improving, cutting by half, quite frankly, the target lesion failure, primarily due to reductions in recurrent myocardial infarction and recurrent target vessel revascularization. Not much different in stent thrombosis to my surprise, but these events were low, less than 1% in either group. Very interesting and a very large study to be discussed and debated widely. Then we go to ablations, ablation procedures, totally different subjects. And that's the beauty of ACC, have a different sets of trials from different parts of the cardiovascular system. So these trials are rather small. We're talking now in the hundreds as far as the patients enrolled, and sometimes even less per group. However, very, very important, I would say, mechanistically. They both have a lot to do with the MRI assessment of brain hits or brain microinfarcts or brain, I would say, findings, because we're not sure exactly what they mean. Most of those or all of those are really silent. So anyhow, one study investigated atrial fibrillation ablation with two different types, the cryo and the radiofrequency ablation, and seemed to have not much difference between the two as far as the MRI assessment and maybe some small differences, the transcranial Doppler that exactly performed in real time during the procedure. But again, I'm not sure how to figure out what this means if the MRI itself not so different. So there we go, more to see. I think that was a very interesting, and I'm very interested to see that, congratulate investigators for conducting such an MRI study, and we can see more of MRI hits. The timing of MRI will come into some debate. The investigators perform that just a couple of days after the procedure. Most of the time, I would say day one post-procedure. Could that be too early? Could be another timing, might be more optimal to assess hits that might be more closely associated with later findings regarding brain function. We're gonna investigate and see in other studies. Another ablation study, not strictly AFib, I should say, this is just ablation study, and including mostly ablations for ventricular arrhythmias, indicated how those can be performed by placing a catheter in the left side of the heart by either transseptal or retrograde via the aorta. This is an interesting study because one of it needs a venous sheath, the other one needs a arterial sheath. There's some hemostasis problems that are of minor concern, I would say, but they are. And of course, one needs transseptal puncture, the other doesn't. Interestingly, the MRI hits seem to be higher in the retrograde aortic, most likely because these patients have aortic plaque, manipulations in the of the catheter in the aorta produces more events, more hits. Also, the these investigators assessed some neurocognitive assessment that really didn't have much difference, but perhaps the study was small, and we ought to see that in bigger studies. Again, I want to congratulate this type of research from electrophysiology colleagues that assess both MRI findings as well as trying to link that with neurophysiologic assessment of the brain, very, very important. And finally, but not least, a very interesting study, a TAVR study population, I would say, because it doesn't really need with the valve, doesn't really need with a new valve, doesn't relate to the technique we do over the valve. However, it relates about our patients and investigates very interestingly a subset of patients that are frail. And frailty has been a problem in TAVR for a long time, except that A, we don't know how to objectively measure it, and B, we don't really know what to do about it. So in this study, again a small study, I would say a pilot study has a flavor, the investigators used a systematic assessment of frailty by assessing balance and gait, as well as both speed, as well as sitting to stand as capacity. And they saw to evaluate patients before and after an intervention. And everybody was after the TAVR. Well, they were looking to give them protein-rich diet. So they were trying to essentially have a metabolic way to reverse frailty in the post-TAVR environment and see what this does. Interestingly, the measure they did choose to point as a primary endpoint was significant, and I think this is very encouraging. We should see more about metabolic effects and strengthening the body and the muscle, I would say, capacity of our post-TAVR patients. These are very special, very old patients, very frail, and I'm very pleased to see that research is not only focused exclusively in the valve, but also focused on what do we do after the procedure in order, in a patient-centered approach, to improve our patient well-being. This has been, I think, a potpourri of a great session, and was obviously a part of a great ACC 2024 in Atlanta.